Hello everyone, my topic is forest biomass supply for bioproduction in the southeastern United States. And my presentation will include introduction objectives, methods, and acknowledgement. First, let's look at the statistics from Energy Information Administration. We can see that from 1996 to 2004, there is an increasing consumption of ethanol to take place of the MTBE, which is a fuel additive, which can leak from underground storage tank and cause potential human potential cancer risk to humans. So many states have banned its use. And this graph shows us that the consumption of renewable energy in 2004, we can see that in the US, the total consumption of renewable energy has reached 2.1 quadrillion BTU, and the biomass consumption is 47%, which has become the leading source of renewable energy over hydroelectric, which is the first time in the history. Currently, the forest biomass utilization has two focuses. The first one is heat and steam in the industrial sector and the electricity in utility sector. And in 2006, there are over 100 electricity plants which burn both biomass and coal for electricity. And in the transportation sector, which has the greatest increase in consuming biofuels from agricultural biomass. In 2006, it has been estimated that 20% of corn has been converted to 5 billion gallons of ethanol, but it compared with the consumption of 2005, the fossil fuel consumption is 140 billion gallons. This agricultural biomass, the potential supply is relatively small. So some recent reports also identified the potential problems of supply of agricultural biomass for biofuel production. We should move our attention to forest biomass for bioproduction. These two pictures tell us one reason that's why we use forest biomass. We can see that the reducing of thinning materials, it can help us to reduce the potential risk of disasters of forest fires. So the benefits of forest biomass utilization for bioproduction mainly includes energy security. We know that it can reduce the potential, it can diversify energy supply sources and reduce our reliance on imported fossil fuels. And the using of biofuels to take place of the traditional petroleum oil can reduce the greenhouse gas emissions and thus improve our air quality and environment quality. It can also stimulate the rural job creation and economic growth. Currently, the potential and existing technologies for utilizing forest biomass include combustion, fermentation, gasification, and pyrolysis. I have told just now the combustion Technology includes co-firing and direct firing. It is commonly used in the industrial sector and the electricity sector. And this fermentation technology of agricultural of corn, it's commonly used in corn ethanol industry. But the fermentation of forest biomass is kind of harder because it requires the hydrolysis process before the fermentation of resulting sugars. And the gasification can can produce methanol, ethanol, diesel, syngas, and chemicals. And the pyrolysis technology has been in our demonstration stage. And there is a demonstration project in Canada which has produced bio oils and it has been imported to the US. And there's also small modular pyrolysis facility which can be used on site, so it will greatly reduce the transportation cost, but it's still in the pilot stage. The government policies and the programs played a great role in the past decades to stimulate the biofuel production and consumption since the 1970s. This Energy Tax Act of 1978 is one of the earliest statutes. It provides the excess tax exemption of 4 cents per gallon on gasoline blended with at least 10% ethanol. Actually, there are a whole bunch of policies and programs. I just list some of them to show the different categories of financial incentives, which is related to my study. And here we can see that the Crude Oil Windfall Profits Tax Act of 1980. It provides tax credits for the biofuel producers and retailers. And the Energy Security Act of 1980s, it provides insured loans to small ethanol plants. And it also provides price guarantees and purchase agreements to the producers. And I think it's very good. And this Alternative Motor Fuels Act of 1988, it provides credits to automakers, and Energy Conservation Reauthorization Act of 1988, it provides alternative fuel vehicles credit to fleet operators for using biodiesel. The recent federal incentives is more on the forest biomass utilization, as I mentioned before about the reasons. The first one is the Biomass Research and Development Act of 2000. It stimulates the forest biomass utilization by providing grants for improving the cellulosic biomass conservation technologies. And the Farm Bill of 2002, it's the first time included the energy title in this act. It provided funds to bio-based industrial production using trees, wood waste, and residues. It's the projects were established to stimulate biomass production and biorefinery technology improvements, including the lignocellulosic biomass. The Memorandum of Understanding of Woody Biomass Utilization Policy, it's encouraged the sustainable developments and stabilization of woody biomass utilization markets. The Healthy Forest Restoration Act of 2003, it provides grants for research on thinning, harvesting, transportation, processing, and economic valuation. And it also provides grants programs for adoption of technologies and reducing costs of forest biomass procurement. So the objectives of my study is first to identify the forest biomass supply for bioproduction industry. The second is to develop a market model to identify how forest biomass supply for bioproduction will affect the traditional wood markets. and examine how government incentives will influence the biomass and solid wood supply in regional markets. The forestry inventory and analysis data will be used. It includes the forest area and inventory, timber inventory and growth removals data. And the supply curves is a function of stampede price, logging cost, and the transportation cost. We will examine the forest biomass availability at a specific price. So this graph shows that the resource cost for the forest biomass will be different in each region according to the stampede price in different regions and also the other information like the landowner characteristics. And this graph shows us that the harvesting cost for each region is also different. It will be a function of it will include the factors of machine cost, labor cost, and some topographical factors. And this factor, this graph shows us that's the transportation cost in different regions. Here is the market model. It's a sub-regional timber supply model I will use for the timber market identification. We can see that for a given timber supply, and when the demand increases, for example, the construction of more bioproduction facilities, it will result in the increased harvest of forest biomass at a higher price. And this graph shows us that with all this information, we can identify the optimal locations of bioindustry for each region. The sub-regional timber supply model will be used, and this model includes the traditional wood markets. It has information on that pulpwood and saw timber, and I will try to include the forest biomass, the small diameter wood, and the logging residues to this market model. Here we see how this model works. It includes two models. The first one is the inventory model, and second one is market model. The forest inventory data here include the timberland characteristics, the forest inventory characteristics, and the growth and yield parameters will be input to this inventory model, and it will help determine the forest biomass supplies for the market model. And together with the regional demand and the supplier characteristics and supply and demand parameter, we can, with this market model, we can find out the equilibrium price for forest biomass and other wood categories and the quantity, demand, and welfare measures. And also we can find the optimal harvest, which will put into this inventory model to determine the supply of forest biomass for the next period. This graph shows us that at a given demand, the inward shift of forest biomass supply due to some reduction of timber inventories, it can cause the reduced quantity of timber supply and at a higher price. The impacts of government incentives will be explored through financial incentives to producers we mentioned just now, and it will translate into reduce the procurement cost. And then we will put this information to the sub-regional timber supply model and calculate the new market equilibrium prices for the forest biomass and other wood categories, and also the quantity, supply and demand, and the welfare measures. I haven't got any result yet, but if you are interested into this topic, you are welcome to my dissertation. Okay, here I would like to thank Southeastern Sand Grant Center for the funds for this project, and thank my advisor, Dr. Don Hodges, for his valuable guidance, and all my fellow graduate students. They are always help me there whenever I need help or encouragement. Thank you so much. Do you have any questions? Yes, please.
Will your model be applied only to forest residue, or does it include the entire forest resource, trees and ground?
I think include the entire one, include the forest biomass, and also that's pulpwood and saw timber to evaluate the impact of bioproduction on the whole market. Yes.
In what form? Would it be logs or chips or just residue in trucks or what?
I think it will depend on the markets, because governments would like the bioproduction industry use logging residues, but actually it will depend on the price. For example, if the saw timber is near to the industry, and if you consider the transportation cost, if it's very high, maybe the industry will use the saw timber rather than the logging residues. So we will compare the costs of, the cost, we will include all the costs together to compare for the industry, which one is more economic effective for the industry. You're welcome. Yes, please.
Once you have the model up and running and brandized, mm-hmm. is there any way that you can validate it or check its predictions? Or
yes. Yes. I'm thinking to use the predictions for different periods. And actually, there's already some studies. I think Dr. Timothy Young did that to prediction to 2017 or 20. But I haven't started that model yet, so. More questions? Okay, thank you very much.